Welcome to the CCI Sunday podcast presented by CCI Plus. Download our free app at communitychurchinternational.org. We'll start in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to stop by on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and worship with us, listen to a powerful message, and enjoy the company of some friends. We are 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We hope to see you soon.
Connected to. And the response was, in this generation, and this response was, is that if you would climb the mountain, if you would begin to progress up the mountain, the Lord began to release strategies where he was destroying, like you were beginning to climb the mountain. You say, Lord, I'm going to go on this journey. And we are on a journey. God is dealing with hearts right now and issues in our own lives because he's wanting to make us effective. So when we climb that mountain, when we say, I'm going to take this chair, and the only thing keeping me out of that chair is me. So what is in me right now that's keeping me from taking hold of what God has given me? Father, as we were worshiping this morning, we'll just do this then. As Jenny was talking about thankfulness this week, so much what God's been doing is he's been working on our hearts. And when God works on our hearts, things come up that we always think we need to fix. And when that becomes so predominant in our life, one thing we got to be careful is not to be thankful. And I think in this season of time of refining and God showing some things in the church and in our own personal hearts is that we can't forget that we serve a good God. And a lot of the worship here this morning was God reflecting on, all my days I will sing of the goodness of God. That song that was brought up here was a song that was very strong in my life when about 3 years ago I had fallen and fractured 14 vertebrae in my back and put a wonderful size hole in my skull and collapsed my lung and broke some ribs. During that time, I was laying in the hospital bed, and that song I just kept playing over and over and over, that I'm going to sing of the good. Now, it's in those moments that God speaks to us and that we hold on to a song of praise. And we realize that we're actually shouting to our mountain, like that song says. I'm going to speak to my mountain. I'm going to speak to my fears. I'm going to preach to my doubt. And you begin to speak of the goodness of God in the middle of the storm, because it's so important, because it says in Psalms 100, it says, shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, right? And enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him and his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. I was thinking about stuff this in the middle of this week, and I began to think about all the things that God's working on, and I began to focus on those things. And it's not wrong, because God's constantly wanting to give us an upgrade, but I always have to be thankful. Thankful, God, that you're showing me something here that I can get an upgrade in my life, because I need to always be where? In his courts. I always need to be in the presence of God. It is so incredibly important that we're always giving thanks. Just think about it for one moment. If you paused yourself and you ask yourself, when's the last time I was thankful for the Lord, to the Lord? I mean, honestly, being thankful to God. Because when we fight battles and we're in the middle of it and the Lord's beginning to the enemy wants to come in and rob us from our position. But we realize we hold our position and we stay in that place of thankfulness. The Lord, we begin to actually release blessings from that place of trusting the Lord. It says there in Psalms, I was just reading 100, know that the Lord is God. How do we forget? Did you just forget, Tom? Middle of the week, Wednesday, and you just think about all the things that need to be done. It is the Lord who is God. It is the Lord who is God. Know this. And I have to tell myself this. It's like my spirit knows this, but I literally have to tell myself. And one of the ways I tell myself is that I begin to be thankful. I begin to say, thank you, Lord. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? I like to say I'm thankful, but there's times when I'm not thankful. You remember those chairs that I set up? Could I get three chairs again, Lucas? Could you do that for me, please? But when I set up those chairs, the tactic of the enemy is always trying to get us out of his courts and out of his presence. All the time. And you know when you're not thankful. Because you know you're not thankful for how you respond to different things. And you remember last week I was talking about the three different chairs and what they represent in our lives. Remember when we did with the lathe, right? Thank you, Lucas. But you remember chair number three represents the world, right? Chair number three represents the world and all its influence. Chair number two is when we become born again. We're born again, but we don't realize, like Paul prays about in Ephesians, that the eyes of your heart may be lightened, that you may know the inheritance, that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's Christ within me. This is the place where we're seated in heavenly places, where God wants us to do our business, where God wants us to do our ministry is from this place. But when I'm sitting in this chair, I find out that I'm not thankful. Aren't we? Because you think about the situations and you're waiting for God to do something. You're waiting for God to bring you in a place. And when I'm in a good place, then I will be thankful. When this is all taken care of, when I'm struggling something in the world, whether it's finance or something, I'm trying to influence the world from this place. It is affecting me. And remember, when you're sitting in this chair, the world influences you. But when you're sitting in this chair, you influence the world. Kingdom come, right? And he's constantly trying to say, what chair am I in? So in the middle of the week, I began to ask the Lord. I began to pray, and I said, Lord Jesus. And then I wasn't, oh, look at that, it's updated. I wasn't going to pray, but I just started just thanking God. Like right now, Father, I thank you for my home. Father God, I thank you for my home. Father God, I thank you for my children. My children are a blessing. You know how many times you think about your children and you look at the things that they need fixed, right? And you feel like your children could be a little bit, or your home, there's so many things that need to be fixed in your home, or your vehicle, or your truck. I got this and I got this, and then that thing, and you start allowing yourself to resent your own children, or my car, or my job. Well, it's from that place, how I respond reveals where I'm sitting. Right? So how was I responding? All the things that need to be done to my house before graduation is just annoying. She knows. Right? And here we have this great big beautiful home, right? And now when you have to upgrade anything in a big home, it's big. Well, I'm just going to put a new flooring in. Sure you are. 2,000 square feet at $3 a square foot, $4 a square foot, and that's on the cheap end. $6 a square foot, you do the math. Homeschool math. Seven. What chair are you sitting in when you get this information? Oh, boy, now I got to live this out. Okay. So I was sitting there, and I felt burdened, right? Do you feel burdened? You feel heavy on that? And I started praying. I didn't know I was doing this to myself. But I started, thank you, Lord, for this house. This is an amazing house. Thank you, Lord, for my home. God, you gave me this home. This whole story is a miracle that I live in this home. And it's not a curse, it's a blessing. And my position will treat it as a curse or a blessing. You could speak curses on your home. In your heart, you could resent the blessing that God gave you. Oh! In your heart, you can resent your own children sometimes when you struggle. It's terrible to say. You shouldn't say that. But when all you're looking at is problems and issues, and you're trying to focus on that, and you stop being thankful, you stop coming to the throne room, we have to bring everything from this place. Because from this place, it'll influence this place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Seated in heaven, Jesus came from heaven to earth, and he had influence. And we can be like Jesus on this earth with influence. But if this third chair is influencing me, then I'm sitting in the second chair. If I'm more influenced by what's not going right in the world, then I'm not being influenced here from heaven, and I'm not an influencer. I'm no longer a responder. Remember, I was preaching this. I am no longer a responder. I am a reactor. And you know what? When we're just reacting to everything in the world, you're a mess. You're a mess. But when you're a responder and you begin to pull heaven down into situations, and I just be thankful. Watch it right now. Just watch it right now. When there's something on your heart, if you're watching at home right now, just begin to thank the Lord for that person. Begin to speak blessing over that person. Right now, I thank you, Lord, for the son and the daughter, this person in my life, Father God. I speak blessing. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, for your promises, for you are good, Lord Jesus. I speak blessing over the place. And I understand not everybody is where you want them to be. I understand that they're going to be upgrades in your house, but don't let it contaminate your heart to the place where you're no longer thankful. It's so huge. And when God brings stuff to the surface in this refining, what we're going through, we're going to focus on the things that need to be fixed so we can get rid of them. We're going to get a new deck. But there's a cost. Surrender your life and make it happen. There is a cost. Right? You guys feeling that this morning? Has anybody lost their thankfulness a little bit besides me? I come here and I want you guys to be with me. I don't want to be alone. Thank you. Ugh. Thank you, sir. Men live longer who are able to laugh at their mistakes. Not so for the men who laugh when their wives make mistakes. Right? This is wisdom. This is Bill. Women who gain a few pounds live longer than the men who mention it. These are facts that you need to know. I can't remember the other ones, but would you go with me to Timothy chapter 1 verse 18? You guys know, you laugh now, but the first one. The first Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this commandment in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. So that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Holding on to faith, say faith, and good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Paul is reminding Timothy of what God had said about him. Paul is reminding Timothy that it's so important to remember what God has promised about you. In this season of time of God refining, I have been asked questions more and more, people asking for their prophetic words for this church and for them. Because God wants to remind us about the hope that's in his calling. Paul is saying here, you need to remember this. You remember this command, keep with the prophecies once made about you. Why is that so important? In a time of difficulty and trial, you're going to face an enemy. And when we talked about the wilderness, the enemy is going to come and tempt you. He's going to tempt you in two ways. You're going to ask questions about God, and you're going to ask questions about yourself. Those are the fights you're going to fight. And the enemy, it's not wrong to have questions for God because he loves to ask questions. But the point of the question the enemy will always give us is whether to doubt God or to doubt yourself. And Paul is saying here, it is so important that you hold close to what God is saying about you. And that's what a prophetic word and a promise is God is revealing, he's revealing what he spoke and he said about you. He said, remember the prophecies made about you so that you can, by recalling them, say recall. Do you remember your prophetic words? Do you remember what God said about you? Because attached to them is your identity. Attached to it is your permission. Attached to it is your provision. Attached to that is the grace to walk something out. David had a prophetic, Abraham had a prophetic word. Come on, we're a prophetic church. We're an apostolic church. And why is that so important? Because in the middle of the attack, in the middle of what the enemy is, he's wanting you to doubt what God said about you, and he's wanting you to doubt what you think about God. And in that midst of this refining and this stirring that's been going on, is that God is wanting to reestablish his love connection with you so that you don't have any doubt. Say, no doubt. No fear. I trust in the things of God. I think that's a song somewhere. It just came to my mind. But by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Who wants to fight a good battle? Anybody? How do I do it? How do I fight well? Come on, coach. Tell me how to fight well. Woo! Do you think we're fighting a battle? No, seriously. Do you think we're fighting a battle? No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, you are. Come on. Do you see what I'm doing right here? Because the Lord is revealing, and he said, and what he's revealing is he's making clear to the church is this is who you are. The refining makes things clear. Remember what I said in Revelation. He was putting salve on his eyes so that we might see. He's not here to punish. He's not here to condemn. He's really here to set free so that you know who you are and that you can see clearly who you really are. Because the enemy is trying to put doubt and worry and fear about you and about him. Come on. And Paul is saying, I want you to hold on really tight. I want you to remember the things that God said so that you can fight the battle well. Holding on, what? To faith and good. You know what faith is? Faith is not a shovel you lean on while praying to God to dig a hole. Right? Right? Faith is not a shovel you lean on while you pray to God to dig a hole. Come on. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I will speak to my mountains. Right? Is that what it said? Or speak to my fear? I always do this to all the songs, and the praise and worship team go like this. Tom, please, just don't. Because the song was prophetic, and I'm trying to recall it. So you speak to my mountains and speak to my fears. Nope, that's not right, Tom. Okay, fine. But you have the power. God has instilled us the Holy Spirit. He has given us that to activate, to move from this chair. And when this chair and the world is getting crazy, if we're sitting here, what are we going to think? I already know right away if someone's talking about what's going on in the world, what chair they're sitting in. I know right away from the attitudes of people, and I'm talking about myself, I know right away which chair I'm sitting in right away. Right away in the morning, whatever comes on, I realize right away. Now, I choose what chair I'm going to sit in. You choose. Nobody makes you. Nobody makes you. In this chair, I defer my responsibility, whether I'm going to be happy or sad, is whether or not I get my raise. From this chair, I decide whether I'm going to be happy or sad is the way my people around me treat me. From this chair, this is influencing me. I lost the game because the ref had a bad call. What is happening here? I am deferring my faith, my power, and I'm giving it to somebody else. Come on. When you allow this to influence you, you're making your decisions based on what's going around you. Come on. Is this the chair you belong in? Nope. This is the chair I belong in. This is what makes a couple of fish and two loaves of bread feed 5,000. That's the kingdom we need. That's what the world needs. Come on. Come on. And here's what's happening. We're beginning to see it more and more. And the church can't negotiate from the second chair, and we feel powerless. Right? I don't mind counseling. I don't mind. But if the counseling is only bringing people to just tolerate sin issues and they're not being set free, what's that about? Right? I'm not against some counseling. I'm not saying that, but if people aren't getting set free, are there principalities? Are there powers? Are there demonic strongholds that need somebody who could shout and who can declare it in the name of Jesus? Have you been given authority over principalities and powers? Did Jesus say that? I have all authority and power have been given to me, therefore go. Is that what Jesus said? Am I quoting scripture here? Am I right? Do you have power? Do you have power? You got to take that power. You've got to take that power. Right? You got to take that power. Come on. Faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck regarding to the faith. Come on. What is he saying? What happens when we lose faith? What happens when we don't activate? What happens when things are brought to us and people are struggling, right? You guys ever do battle? Where do you want to be when you do battle? You ever watch Iron Man? And they're about to do this big battle. And not everybody watches Iron Man, but anyway, they're in a low area, and they're talking about how they're going to do battle. And they say, well, we need to get up there. And as they're talking and they're arguing about who's got the big gun and who's going to go up there, all of a sudden the enemy started landing all around them. And they go, uh-oh, this is the worst spot that we could possibly be in. When you do battle, where do you want to take? The high ground. The high ground. Where's our high ground? Come on. Don't get caught up in the second chair. Where's the high ground? Right here. Has anybody read this book? It's called The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Do we have any young kids in here? Okay, good. We don't. So if you're watching at home. No, I'm just kidding. You guys nervous? No, you're good, right? What is Tom doing? This is so graphic in the description of what we're fighting. This is so graphic in the description of what the devil gets people caught up in, including us sometimes. But I wanted to read the account. Wisdom appeared to them, and it directed them to fight from the mountain, because they were fighting and they knew that on that ground there were truths that God wanted to reveal to them, that gave them the strength, that gave them the arrows, that gave them the knowledge, that gave them the ability to set people free. They had to climb the mountain, and the mountain had different truths. He said, as they looked to the mountain, there were different levels. And each higher level, the ledges became narrower and more difficult to stand. Each level was named for a biblical truth. The lower levels were named foundation of truth as salvation, sanctification, prayer, faith. The higher levels were named after deeper biblical truths. And as we were climbing long, the larger our shield and our arrows became to grow, and the enemy arrows could not reach them. Some had stayed at the lower levels and picked up the enemy arrows and shot them back. And they found out this was a grave mistake. Have you ever tried to fight the way the world fights? You ever get caught up in an argument and someone accuses you and you accuse them? He said, actually, after that happened, the devils got bigger and stronger. And it began to make it worse for them. So you couldn't use the same thing. So when you get in a fight, well, they did this to me, so I'm going to do that to them. Doesn't work out so well. Doesn't work out so well. This was. I'm not going to read it. But I mean, they go into description graphics of like the devil and the enemy was urinating and defecating on that, and the Christians were taking it because it was all junk. And they were living on junk. But do you ever get in a situation where there's so much negativity and so much looking at that it's just poison? And you go out of that meeting, you go out of that situation, no, not getting any hope, not getting any faith, not getting out of anything, right? You're not seeing anything beyond that. All you can do is feel this place of helplessness and powerlessness. Come on. And even the paper, did you get to see the watch? The front page of the paper is talking about a generation of kids. How are we going to help them in their behavior? Front page of the paper. What is the church's response to that? What is God's response to that? What does he think he wants to do? This is a big thing going on right now. Do you think God has an answer? Of course he does. Do you hear it? I listened to Jacob, and a couple weeks ago, me and Jake, I said, we look at each other. And someone says, well, how do you look at Jacob? Jacob sees me. And I see Jacob. Even right now, he's looking at me. I could tell. And during worship, we both look at each other. And I go, oh, yeah, that's it. He goes, yeah, that's it. But we're in the spirit. And we're connected, like, instantly. And it's starting to flow from us. You know what's going on here? There's no connection. Your kids aren't connected to nothing. To nothing. Come on, what are you connected to? And the response was, in this generation, and this response was, is that if you would climb the mountain, if you would begin to progress up the mountain, the Lord began to relieve strategies where he was destroying, like you were beginning to climb the mountain. You say, Lord, I'm going to go on this journey, and we are on a journey. God is dealing with hearts right now and issues in our own lives because he's wanting to make us effective. So when we climb that mountain, when we say, I'm going to take this chair, and the only thing keeping me out of that chair is me. So what is in me right now that's keeping me from taking hold of what God has given me? Because I want to, like Paul said in Timothy, I want to fight a good fight. So if you're going to fight a good fight, you need to be in the first chair. How long do I need to be in the first chair? Really? All the time. And in that place of intimacy with the Lord, in that place of the throne room of God, he begins to speak prophetic words to a generation that's going to speak hope and life and set them free. And you don't know what those words are, but if you're sitting in the second chair, are you going to hear what God wants to say to them? You'd be so overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with myself in the second chair. And God's asking for a remnant. He's not asking for a majority. He always uses a remnant. He always uses a remnant. A remnant of people who find the first chair and begin to climb. And if you read this, it only took a matter of time. It only took about 5 or 10. But they began to climb, and Christians began to realize that we've been fighting this fight longer than we didn't realize that we were actually in a fight where the enemy had really literally robbed people of their power. And we had deferred our power. Well, you know what? They're never going to get over that. So what? You know, this happened to me 10 years, so who cares? This happened this way. And you defer all your responsibility and power to what people are doing. And you never take your power. Say, I take my power. That means you decide. Right now, no one else takes you out of that chair but you. You need to know that. A generation needs to know that you cannot defer to the second one. Oh my goodness. How many times do I defer to my emotions, to my feelings, to how I feel? I don't feel like it. I'm going to get sick. When I just think about my feelings all the time, my spirit, my soul, and my body, which one's stronger? Which one's trying to fight right now? Because I realize that my prayer is important. I realize right now that I need to press in and I need to hear from the Lord, because somebody sitting here in the third, or even my brother and sister struggling in the second chair, needs to hear from the Lord, needs to hear a word from the Lord. I need to know this place. Come on. Is this what we're asking for? Is this what we want? Come on. And the Lord is showing us. God is showing us by his grace and his mercy what is going on. And he's asking us, when you hear conferences like Rise Up, to take your place, the significance of that. Do you understand how I don't think we do. I think sometimes we don't think it's that important. And in this book, there was a whole generations of Christians. These are Christians that were laying down saying, you know what, God is good. I'm going to heaven, praise God. Hallelujah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter. It's good. God is good. And never do they activate. And he said the devil were picking on them and all that, and they had the swords, and they had all these things, and they had the access to all that stuff, and they would just lay down. And if they would just go like this, they would have killed the enemy, and he'd have been gone. If they would just grab a hold of their sword, if you just take hold of that, put on the full, take hold of what God is, if you would just grab that and use it, just use it, it easily would kill. And he was trying to tell them, but nobody would listen. He would get in there, and he was in this vision. He was like, come on, you guys, put on your armor. The devil's taking out a generation. Come on, you guys, we're losing them. You need to fight. The devil's after him. You need to understand. Oh, no, God's good. He has a plan. It's okay. And they never took their responsibility, and they sat back, and a whole generation was entrapped by this. But a remnant decided to start climbing this mountain. And they start climbing the mountain, and they started tearing down principalities and powers. And what happened was, is when a remnant rises up, a little bit of light shines. Come on. A little bit of light begins to shine. And when a little bit of light shine comes through, what is that called? Hope, right? And when you start hitting people with arrows of hope, come on. I understand that mental illness can be very frustrating, but we need to bring some hope there. We need to bring some hope there. We need to reach out, and we need to ask God, and we need to intercede from the first chair, begin to intercede and pray and release the presence of God into situations, into circumstances, from the first chair. Amen. You guys going to do it? You count the cost. And the Lord is moving on our hearts. And it's almost, it's like it's becoming front page news. It's becoming front page news. You know, you're in northern Minnesota, and you go, well, nothing crazy happens in northern Minnesota, and we're somewhat isolated. Not anymore. There are things here that you would never have thought had been here 10 years ago. Come on. Come on. Come on. Romans 13, chapter 11. Say light. Say turn on the light. Come on. Let's turn on the light. Paul is sharing on this in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this, understanding in the present time that the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Say, my hour has come. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not getting caught up in carousing and drunkenness or sexual immorality or debauchery or none of this disdaining jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Honestly, what I'm seeing right now in the next generation, and probably in myself, is that I'm looking for comfort here. I'm trying to find comfort here. I'm trying to find comfort in something else other than this. You know it. I know it. In food sometimes, and other things sometimes. We're trying to find comfort. And he's saying, listen. He's saying, listen, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Put on the light. What does that mean? What does that mean for me? Come on. What does that mean for me? There's an intercessor rising up in you. There's a preach that's coming up on the inside of you that wants to bust out. Come on. I know it. You have something to shine the light on. It's not here. It's not me. It's you. In your place, in your time, it's something for you to take hold of. It's a promise that was prophesied over your life that you grab a hold of. I was reading prophetic words to our youth, and it said, God has given you the grace to release healing and love and grab a hold of people and show them. This is what his grace was given to you for. Well, grace is given to me to do whatever I want. It's not. Jesus is Lord. And I pray, and this teaching or this thought, and maybe even me as a pastor, just praying for people, oh, let the Lord bless your business. Well, is that what God has for you? I better know as a pastor if I'm praying for someone that if I really care about that person that they will never be free or happy until they know what God has called them to do and they step out into it. They're not going to be. And that's why I'm so thankful that we're an apostolic and prophetic church. What does that mean? Apostolic and prophetic people can be really up there all the time. What's that? Annoying? Yeah, they can be really annoying. I didn't want to say it, but thank you. They're always up there. Well, do you know what God said about your life? Do you know? And you're sitting down here going, come on. I just want to get McDonald's. Right? Or I'm just thinking about going to the Mexican restaurant. But God has called you to the nations to speak and touch and heal thousands. Well, but I'm hungry. You know, so you get this on the inside of you and you start believing it. And that's what's crazy is you start. Well, maybe you're right. But when you understand it's your permission. See, God knows what you need. I'm God. I know what you need. And we think from the second chair that we got to make all our stuff need. And everything we do revolves around this thing called a job and money. Is that the first chair or the second chair? But how many times do I get caught up in the second chair? I believe my biggest breakthroughs don't happen because God can't trust me with what he wants to give me because I fall into the second chair. Isn't that crazy? I want to give you everything and every promise, Tom, but that's going to bind you in the second chair because you're going to try to make it all happen yourself. I need you to trust me in the first chair. I go, oh, God. He's showing me things in business, but he's telling me, he says, you can't in the second chair anymore. And my heart almost wants to break because he's wanted to give it to me so long, but I couldn't do it. I just had to go back to the second chair. I'm a good worker. I'm strong. I just get stuff done. That's what I do. It's what I've always done. And you want me to, oh, and my soul cries out. My flesh cries out. And he says, put it aside. Put every weight aside and grab a hold of light. Don't let that thing grab you and don't walk in the darkness. Come into the light and stay into the light because I know what you need. Don't you understand that Abraham had everything he needed? He just had to believe and obey and it all came forth. Don't you know all I'm asking you to do is trust me and obey and it will all come forth. Don't you understand that the promise I gave you was your permission to step out in faith and not lean on your shovel because I want to give it to you. Come on. Because it belongs to us. Because it belongs to you. So Paul said, remember those things that God has promised to you. And wake up, because this is yours. Say, it is mine. It is mine. Some of you are going to change jobs. Some of you have a heart so much to do what God's, your prophetic word was to be a preacher. Your prophetic word over your life was to minister. And so your prophetic word was you're an evangelist. And some of you, and I saw a picture of somebody's dad. Isaac was your dad. And you showed me that. He was carrying the cross. Someone's picking up their cross again. He made it a little bit lighter. He hollowed it out so it wouldn't be so heavy, which I thought was smart. But he's going to carry that thing, right? He's going to carry that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. Come on. Come on. You know, when we say about apostles and prophets, and who knows a prophet, who has a relationship with a prophet or an apostle? Jeff, yeah. I can only laugh, buddy. What a blessing, huh? It's important that we understand them, because they could frustrate us, right? Right? And prophetic people have to learn patience, because they see things way before we do. And they're like, when are you going to get it together, right? So it's good to have pastors to say, you know what? He's a work in progress, and we're going. Apostolic people, they're just... But if you don't make that priority, will you ever get in the first chair? Would you even know about it? And as a pastor, there's no way I want to counsel people who are wanting to sit in the second chair. I can't do it. I'm going to burn out. And I'm not interested in that at all. That's why I love to hear people's prophetic words. That's why I have a collection of so many of them. Because I can identify with them and I can see them from the first chair. And I can begin to speak destiny, life, come on, provision, all those things. I begin to release that from the first chair. And that's, you know, honestly, everybody in the first chair is free. Everybody in the first chair knows that they're loved. Everybody in the first chair. So I bring back prophetic words and I look at them and I feel the apostolic in me. And I say, well, what are you going to do? So what are you up to? What are you up to, Isaac? Which chair are you sitting in? What are you doing for the Lord? That's what he's saying. It's for your good. You know why? Because God knows what you really want. God knows exactly what you really want because he made you. He's got all that stuff worked out for us so that we don't have to be caught up in all that other things from the second chair that can have such influence. But this is Paul. He said, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Say, mighty power. Come on. Come on. A powerful church. It says, put on the full armor of God. Put it all on, that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Come on, the devil is a liar. The devil is a deceiver. And the way you champion, the devil compared to the first chair is nothing. But when we get into the second chair, it becomes a problem. For we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark ages of the world, against spiritual forces of the evil, in the heavenly realms. Because of that, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Come on. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. And he goes through it. All the belt of truth, the shield of faith. I'm not going to read all of that. But I'm going to go down towards the end. At verse, I think it's 18 or 17 here, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, every occasions, with all kinds of prayer requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all of the Lord's people. Come on. There's a time of prayer and intercession in my personal life that I have never felt so strongly before ever. And you yourself, I remember a couple years ago, the Lord talking to me about my prayer life. not condemning, not trying to knock us out, but saying you need to get something a hold of here. And there is such an opportunity of God's grace and mercy to really answer some things we've been asking for. He really is right now. There is so much revelation being poured out on his people. And if you keep asking in prayer, pray like what? We've been talking about altars. Pray like what? Be willing to lay it all before the altar of God. You hearing me? Be willing to lay it all before the altar of God. What's so important to you? Well, it could get deep as my kids. Could be deep as me. You lay it before the altar of God and you say, God, what do you see in me? You really do. God, how do you want to use me, Lord? You know, repentance is a wonderful word. If you thought repentance meant fear and punishment, I'm sorry. But repentance is really, I'm going to trade what's gotten me caught up in the second chair so I can live in the first chair. Repentance means, God, give me your thoughts towards every situation in my life that I'm struggling with, that I can remain in the first chair. Repentance means, Lord, I know I battle between that. Show me where my battle is. Show me what I need to release that I can stay in this place. Lord, you said in your word to take up the shield of faith, to take up these things. Lord God, show me. Faith is not a shovel, but it's an action where we step out into something and we trust God for something. And we walk out in obedience to his Holy Spirit that comes from the first chair. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Because we're fighting against principalities and powers. I just don't believe some people know that we are when it comes to what's going on in the world right now. But Paul said, you need to be aware. When I read this book, The Quest, my eyes were just like, these are serious battles that we're fighting. We're having deep conversations with youth members, really the reality of hell and demonic forces. Are you kidding me? Yeah, because they're real. Not to be scared of, not to be afraid of, but that we are a church, we are a people of power and significance. That when we get tempted by the enemy, he's trying to get us to doubt ourselves and to doubt God. And the Lord is coming and he's asking, is there a place? Is there a voice on earth that can declare the word of the Lord over a generation? Is there a place on earth who can speak over children's lives, who can speak over your life and release the promises of God? The prophetic voice, what Timothy said and Paul said, they need to hold on to their identity. Is there a place where people can go and hear the word of God and know who they are in Christ and have somebody identify with what God says they are? Can you see past their second and third and see what God sees about them and their potential? Is there a place where they can go where they know that they have made a mistake? Right? Is there a place where they go where they've made a mistake and they know that they're in a wrong, but they know that that place is not offering punishment, but they're actually offering a place of love and freedom, that if I can go to the house of God, I'm going to find freedom. Come on. Is that in your house? I hope it's in your house. I hope it's in my house. That when my kids come home, whether they've been struggling or not, they know that they have a place where they're going to be loved, that their identity is going to be reassured. Come on. That there's going to be power. If they're carrying something, that you have the authority in the name of Jesus to break off anything that's been trying to hold your family back, that your daughter's back, your kids are back. You say, in the name of Jesus, you have no place on my child. I have the authority. I'm taking it. Not because I'm afraid, because that's my kid, and I love my kid. Man, I watched a tearjerker of a movie. What was that called? It's in the theaters right now. About angels? Holy smokes, did you watch that? How often did you cry? The whole way, me too. When you realize what you're fighting for, you're not motivated by fear. If you're motivated by fear, you're in the wrong chair. But in the first year, you're going to bust down every storm and every wall to save that kid. It's a story about a kid who needed a liver. She's only like 7 or 5 or something like that. And the dad was proud. Couldn't receive any help from anybody. It was tough on him. He's a tough guy. Really built, strong. Jeez, I was like, he's got some arms on him. Don't get distracted, imagery. But he was so proud. And he began to this gal started helping him, raising up money. He had $400,000 worth of debt, and she got it all wiped out through fundraising and all that. And helped him there. The time came, though, when the liver, she needed a transplant. And when the liver came, you have 6 days, or 6 hours, sorry. You have 6 hours to get from where she was to the place, and she needed a plane. And this lady was able to go to businesses, and she found this corporate plane that said, yeah, we'll take her, we'll do this. So she, it's just a heart, she was just moved by love and some other things that she did this. Well, the final day come, and the call come in and say, we have a liver, you got to get here in 4 hours. And it's a 2-hour flight, but they have to get to the airport. It was in Kentucky, and it was in 1993, I believe. The worst snowstorm in Kentucky history. And they couldn't even get on the road. And they got on the news station. This is all true. They got on the news station. And a community of believers came together. And has anybody got a helicopter? Does anybody got a plow? This little girl needs to get to this hospital in 4 hours. Oh, I got a helicopter. Well, where am I going to land? Well, I got a place out over here. The community, they got on the media and they began to say, this is the need. She's going to die if she doesn't get this liver. She's down to her last few days. But we can't land the helicopter, so there was nothing. So people with shovels started showing up in the church parking lot, digging out the snow so that the plane could land. And the plane was hovering above, and they're like, I can't even see where to go. So they started throwing their, taking their clothes off and throwing it down to the ground so that helicopter could land and pick up that little girl and take her to her rescue. I'm telling you, Thief River Falls, there are kids out there that need rescuing. Clean out your parking lot. God is wanting to land here and take them to safety because they need it. And he's moving on your heart. He's moving on mine. That little girl out there who doesn't know the Lord, she's got 2 weeks. Who's going to say something? I can't hear. I'm in the second chair. And I walk by. He's tugging on our hearts because you got to fight. The fight of faith. And we can do it. We come together and they cleaned out that place and the helicopter took that little girl. But how many here have been touched and healed by the power of God? How many here in their darkest hour have reached out to the saving grace of God and been changed and transformed? How many here know the way? How many here could speak for the voice of the Lord and say, you know what? He can heal the mentally hurting. He can heal the broken heart. He can restore you. He can renew you. He can connect you with his love. How many here know of that love? How many here know it? Come on. He's proven it to me. And he's showing it so that we could show others. He's pulling so hard on our hearts. And I don't feel 1 ounce of fear or condemnation or anything. I feel his heart that he's wanting to give the world what it really needs is him. It's the Father. Come on. They need the Father. And I'm not here to control them. I'm not here to try to fix every little issue in their life. They need the Father. You need to bring them to the Father. Come on. Some of so anointed to speak the love of God in people's lives. God is going to give a holy boldness. Because I'm telling you, the dark is getting darker, but the light is going to get brighter. And the word may be, hey, how you doing? And you might get a whole load of stuff. And you pray in the Spirit in all occasions, Father, what do I need to say here? What can I say, Lord? And maybe all you need to say is, you're going to be all right. Maybe the Lord will say something else, but don't be afraid. Just let your heart be there. Be in the first chair. Don't be discouraged. Be the first chair, church. Be the first chair representation in your home. Come on. Be the first chair wife. Be the first chair husband. Be the first chair elder in the church. Be the first chair servant of God. Be the first chair. So there is hope, amen? God is sharing so much good stuff right now. Hallelujah. Oh, come to the altar, my friend. Lead the way. He's right. It's time. Is this a good place? You feel free? How about you guys? Come on. We just need a few. We need you. We need each other. I am not doing this alone. And I don't have to. Yeah, I'm the pastor. But we have apostles. We have prophets. We have a congregation. Every joint supplies its need. I need your joint. I was running with the kids the other day. And I can't run very good yet. I kind of look like a handicapped guy or something. So the kids would laugh at me. Because I'm just kind of like, this leg's 100% and this leg's 40%. So I'm almost kind of like, you know, I can't quite push off. So I got this little limp. But we're playing tag and I want to get them. I'm not 100% yet. But I'm going to be. I'm not. But how important every ligament is to the body and that it be healthy. You are important. It is to my advantage, Travis, that you are healthy and active in the body of Christ. Whether that's here or Florida or Africa, it still benefits me. Isaac, Jen, Sandy, Steve, every single one of us, it's to my benefit. Not that I'm being selfish, but I need you. I need you healthy and strong. I need you to hold on to every prophetic word that you've been given. It is to my advantage that if you're supposed to go to the nations and preach the gospel, that you go. Because it will open up the door of heaven upon you and everybody around you. And that includes me. I'm not trying to be selfish, but I want heaven to open up on me too. And I need you to rise up. I need you to be the man of God that you are. Because it'll benefit us all. You too, Travis, Sandy, Jacob, Jamie. Come on. I need that. I know that. And as pastors, we elevate each other. When my wife is strong, it makes me look so good. Right? When I'm strong. So, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness that's falling on us. If you're watching at home and this is tugging at your heartstrings, we're going to pray for every person that calls Community Church their home, and maybe even not yet, that you're watching, but you know that God has called you to be here. Come on. Come on. God, we want every single one, Lord Jesus, so that from the first chair, we can bring that girl a liver, that we could impact nations, that we could impact community. We need each other. We need every joint to come together. We need every prophetic word, everything spoken over your life to come to fruition. Because you're not happy doing anything else. That's you. You know God has a plan for your life. You know you've been called and chosen. And you fought the second chair, but the Lord says, rise up. This belongs to you. The price has been paid. Come out, take your place. We invite that. We want that. We want everyone here to take their place. Nobody can be you but you. Nobody else could be you but you. God made you you and no one else. Take your place. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. You're breaking off shame, condemnation right now in the name of Jesus and releasing faith, hope, and love. You're releasing, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, destinies. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are so good. I love that you don't relent, Father God, but you keep on loving us so that we can see and figure this out and we can see, Lord, what we're fighting for. God, you're giving us the upgrades. You're showing us your plans. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, God. Come on, let's thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, so good to be here with you this morning. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more, visit our website, communitychurchinternational.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the church 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you wish to support this ministry financially, you may give online on our website or on our free CCI Plus app. Thanks again for spending time with us today. Have a great day.